Good evening.
This is the NLA discussion group. It is the 4th of April. This meeting is held, this conference call is held every week on Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It is for anyone that wants to say something on this conference call. So we invite you to participate. The things said are the responsibility of the speaker and not necessarily those of the NLA or any of its affiliated organizations, whoever that may be. I thought that sounded neat. So with that, I open the floor. So whoever wants to speak first, go ahead.
Well, it's beginning to look like they're talking now about prosecuting the media that has been spreading this garbage for the last 2.5 or more years, I guess, and take them to task, and they're beginning to investigate them. They're obviously, you know, in support of treason, have been since they started, knowing full well that the script they were reading was not their own and what was going on, which should prove interesting in the near term.
What media is getting
This is not on evening news. This is the surf on the web. You'll find it here and there.
Oh, okay.
They're beginning to talk about it. I think Dave, what's his name? Janda is one of them.
Oh, okay.
And they're the best sources I've found around that they're beginning to talk about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while, so I'll go listen to one of his tapes and see what they say. That's good.
I ran across an interesting, I don't know, it's a 3 or 4 minute clip this week. I put it on the newsletter. The title is "I Am the Majority." It's about a fella that goes into Greensboro, North Carolina City Council and speaks on gun control and just lets them have it.
I thought that was a great little video. I think I saw it about 3 months ago.
Yeah, it went viral when it came out, and I just ran across it, and I thought it was worth throwing up there, so I think everybody should take a look at it. He really let him have it, and he's a large man, very commanding, with a good voice, and he just got up there and told him he didn't have anything prepared, but this is the way it was, and ends up, I am the majority. You know, pay attention to me and not all those other frivolous little things you're doing, you know? So I thought that was pretty good. Now, there's another one. In Inform New Hampshire, Rick Merritt does great work, and he's got a new partner on there helping out. They went through part of the New Hampshire Constitution and explained it in excruciatingly infinite detail so even a school kid in the primary grades could understand the Constitution and what it actually says, so you can see the contrast between what their Constitution says and what is actually being practiced.
Awesome.
And just for kicks, if I can find it here, I'll pull it up. looked up the Pennsylvania. Now, first time I looked at the Pennsylvania Constitution, I thought, what's wrong with these people? 67 pages, 8 by 10. You know, you compare that to the United States Constitution, which is a pocketbook with fewer pages.
Yeah.
You wonder what they were trying to prove. But anyway, they had things sectioned off, and by the time they got up to Section 21, and I still hadn't found the militia mentioned anywhere, but Section 21 is the right to bear arms section. And it says, and I quote, "The right of the citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and shall not be questioned." Whoops, I wonder if they got something cut off there. Let me blow it up full size. "Themselves and the state shall not be questioned." It doesn't say anything about the militia, really, although I'm assuming if you're helping the state, you could be in a militia. But the right of the citizens to bear arms and in defense of themselves, not for hunting, not for target shooting, not for plunking, not for, you know, shooting rabbits, not for food, in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned. Now I got to read further and see if I can find anything about the militia in there. The state of Pennsylvania had a different way of doing things compared to New Hampshire and the federal constitution.
I've noticed that.
And I guess that's because they're a commonwealth and not a state. They never succumbed. Had to be different, you know. There's a few of those different ones around. I guess Virginia's another. I don't know how many commonwealths there are, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I ran across another little tidbit, and I hope it comes true. There was talk of, they've apparently unsealed the first of the indictments, and they have the names of the people out now. And now this I haven't got. It's just whispering in the wind kind of thing. But they had Whoopi Goldberg on the list. And they had AOC on the list.
Oh, yeah.
She's become famous already and garnered attention, apparently. Well, now they started looking into her finances from her campaign, and they think maybe she squirreled away a couple million dollars on a couple companies they started, she and her campaign director, so she may be in a little hot water. Of course, if the Democrats have anything to do, they'll promote her for siphoning it off, you know.
And in the category of siphoning funds,
yeah, they're good.
It work goes to.
The other thing I heard, which is terrific and scary at the same time, is that there's talk of creating an Article III court. And honest to God, Article III court, possibly in the District of Columbia, to prosecute these people. Oh. Which, if you think about it, is an interesting concept because there is no appeal from a common law court. It stands as the law of the land. And I hope to God they do it, because that'll open up the way for the rest of us eventually.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I don't know, Terry. We can't seem to stir this group much tonight. Where's this person who's going to come in and speak to us?
Well, you started speaking in 58 seconds. I was almost up to a minute.
Oh, wow.
Try it again. The floor is open.
Okay.
Yeah, to add to Jan.
I need you. What you got, Jim?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that we'll take nothing less.
I hate it when people do that. I'm not sure what they're referring to. Nothing less than an Article III court?
Yeah, take nothing less. All right, I got to run.
Yeah, we can dream. I mean, wouldn't that be nice if They did do that. They made an Article III court, and they held them accountable in common law with the jury right there, and then they sentenced them, and then they tried to appeal, and they said, there is no appeal. And people would see that. And then as soon as they saw it, they'd say, well, I want a decision where nobody can appeal it to the Supreme Court. Well, you can have an Article III court, too. Yep. All you got to do is have a sheriff willing to arrest whoever it is you got a beef with. So there you go.
I don't agree with the digital currency, and I didn't know anybody else that was saying that because a lot of people are for it. But I heard on a video of Edward Griffin, he didn't like the digital currency either because he thinks that, of course, it's fiat money, and because then that's another way, because eventually they want to put some device and chip in our wrist or our forehead, and a lot of people are doing that now. They started doing this after 9/11. People were rushing in line to get these RFID chips just in case some emergency or catastrophe happened and nobody could find them, their family. So I don't think this digital currency is a good idea, and I would really love to see this Federal Reserve Bank go away.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that in the not too far distant future. I think things are snowballing. I mean, it seems like a lot happens each week now. A lot of new stuff comes out.
Right, and all these indictments, how they're tied into Hollywood.
Yep, as they should be. It's just like a feast out there, you know. No matter where you look, you got another pedophile.
Right, that's true, like Pizzagate.
Yep, exactly.
These Hollywood stars, they use them as pawns.
Just another thought. Now, they claim that when they get Obama on trial, they're going to find out that he was not a natural-born citizen. He was not eligible to be president. And therefore, everything that the man ever signed into law gets tossed.
Yep.
Which means you're going to have to go back, and I guess for him, even the stuff in D.C. that was done would be negated. So what do you do? Do you retry the major offenders, or you just turn them all loose, or what do you want to do with them? And kind of in that vein, if they go to Article III courts, that jury can decide what the penalty is, as well as innocence or guilt. And there's a rumor going around now that they're going to be fairly lenient, unless it's really, really egregious, the crimes that were done. Of course, most of the top 20 or 40, it is really egregious.
But wait, Dan, just because they have one indictment or one court, Article III court hearing on Obama, doesn't mean that everybody else can't bring their own suit in common law against Obama. I think that's a great idea.
Yep.
It is.
Yeah, that's why.
Presidency.
That's why, you know, they claim they're giving these people like George H.W. Bush and McCain, the Rommel option. You know, Erwin Rommel, Second World War, the Desert Fox, he was in on one of the major attempts to kill off Hitler. And so they gave him the option. If he'd, you know, plead guilty, they'd shoot him, and they wouldn't kill all of his family, and they'd give him a royal burial, which they did. So apparently that's what Bush got. He got a royal send-off and they executed him. And so after that, they had a big funeral. Same with McCain. But, you know, there's going to be enough people come out of the woodwork. It doesn't matter whether they besmirch their reputation or not. It's going to come out in the prosecuting of the rest of them, I would think. And then there's going to be people crawling out of the woodwork that have an axe to grind and would like to see a common law court with these people involved.
Yes.
So it's going to be really interesting. When John starts saying it's going to take a month to clean up everything, I think he's the master of understatement. I think it's going to take a long time to get all of these things sorted out
absolutely.
To everybody's satisfaction, you know.
When
a
was,
long, long time.
Exactly. When was the last common law court case decided?
Don't know.
The last one I've heard about was 1908. Think about that.
Yep, there's a lot of material there then. Now that should make everybody on the call want to get out there and finish up the government by consent course if they haven't. Get up to where we are. Clean up the other two, the Constitution, or the, I guess you don't have to take the Constitution, but the civics course if you haven't.
What was the 1908 one? This is Veronica. Nikki. I signed in as Nikki. So, Terry?
You know, I do not remember. And I'm as I said, wait a minute, when did I read that?
Okay,
and,
I do that
so
too.
I can't. I have no source that I can quote. So I am probably completely wrong. But I would love to hear what the last one was. I'm very interested in finding that.
Because common law, I think, as I recall, I think that Jan and I, you know, I'm recalling that Jan and I had a conversation about Starry Decisis, remember, way back two, 3 years ago? And so common law is based on previous decisions based on the common law and the common law of England, and it really is interesting because of, and I know you don't want to hear that about in 1785 what the dictionary said about states. I know you don't want to hear that. However, what I've been following is I've been following the rabbit hole of Henry George. Are you familiar with Henry George and the single tax?
No, I'm not. Please enlighten me.
Okay, that goes back to the late 1800s. And he was one of these utopians. He was a socialist, and, you know, he was having tit-for-tats with Marx and, you know, all of them at that particular point in time. But what he proposed was that rents and wages, he went toward rents and wages and the elimination of poverty and so on and so forth, and that it was government's function to make sure that people are being taken care of, not people necessarily, but laborers and real estate. And now remember, from dust we are until dust we shall return. So we are real estate in their eyes. In several places throughout the country, there are single tax offices. And Lackawanna County, the county I'm in, is one with a single tax office. So I went to a lecture on Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. Monday. It was Monday. I went to a lecture on Henry George and how they're with the Departments of Economics. It was what was giving the lecture at the University of Scranton, which is a Jesuit institution. And anyway, they were going through to kind of, you know, sort out the strategies for good media coverage. And I mean, it was interesting in a lot of ways as far as the media. And I didn't realize that as people flip through the channels, you know, they're more apt, if your channel for Fox News is Channel 5, they're more apt to stop at 5 than to go on to 25, you know, if Fox is there or CNN and so on and so forth. So it was interesting from that perspective. However, what I realized in doing a study for Henry George is that Henry George's philosophy boiled down to government should pay the wages, all right? Government is to pay the wages for laborers and so on and so forth. Now, that means that what they're doing is they are the labor of an individual is no longer the individual's. It all belongs to the powers that pay them, because they're renting them, all right? So they put themselves into a form of voluntary servitude to those who are gifting them with Federal Reserve notes, especially since Article 1, Section 10 was breached and silver was taken out of the coin. Now, back when, you know, in the 1800s and then, of course, in 1908, probably in 1910 and 1913, in 1913, of course, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. And when Federal Reserve Act was passed that same year, in 1913, the 16th Amendment put a direct tax on people, the single tax, all right. It was fine, probably, while we still had silver in the coin. And then it went on to, of course, in 1913 was the 17th Amendment, the 17th Amendment senators. And everything you hear about Trump right now is being blocked by the Senate. Pretty much the Senate is saying you can't do this, you can't do that. They're opposing this, that, and even though the Senate is pretty much all, many Republicans, or is a majority of Republicans. So it's interesting the way all of this was set up legislatively in order to get the people to accept this gift of the Federal Reserve note, and it is them that are being bonded, bundled, and monetized for their labor and their real estate and everything else, and they're having to pay a tax on this. Even though they're being gifted, they have to give back. And there is no money. We are the creditors. And I explained that to the woman at the who had put on the program. And of course, she's a professor. And I gave her a handout. Of course, I have my handout, you know, as far as 1785 and we, the people of the United Nobility of America. And I know you don't want to go there. And then, of course, the Clues had given a lecture here in Scranton back in 1910, said if the central banks are passed by Congress, if Congress passes, you know, a Central Bank Act, which they did in 1913, but this is 1910, he's telling 200 bankers, he says they will become more powerful than government itself. So already there was warnings being put out in 1910, wait a minute, something is really wrong here, especially based on the 1800s and what this doublespeak Henry George was talking about. He wrote a book called Progress and Poverty, or Poverty and Progress. So I guess he ties in with the progressive movement. And it kind of sets the stage for what we're dealing with today. There's another book, it's called The Republic of the Future, Socialism, a Reality, and that book is from 1887, and in that book, it projects, the author projects the characters as it being in 2050 A.D., so if she projects this into 2050 AD, she wasn't very technical. However, she mentions Henry George and his book, Progress and Poverty, or Poverty and Progress. So what I'm saying is there seems to be a thread throughout that has led us to where we are today. And I noticed that when this woman, mayor, who was elected in Chicago, and she was talking yesterday, I believe it was, she was talking. And did anybody hear her?
No.
Okay, well, she kind of gave a speech and she, you know, about where she is today and all of that sort of stuff. And in there, in her speech, her kind of like acceptance speech, it seemed like, she mentions the word poverty and she mentions the word progress. I thought to myself, how interesting, because there was a woman just a couple of minutes ago, and she was talking about being pawns. It goes right along with Pawns in the Game. I don't know if you've read that book by William Guy Carr. He wrote it in 1958 or 59. He was a Canadian, and he outlined a strategy that was put forth by a group of wealthy men. This is back in 1773, and it had 25 strategies. All of them have been, I mean, they've used all of them. These wealthy people that wanted to take over the world and all that is in it, and they're doing it benevolently by, you know, hey, look, we're going to gift them with Federal Reserve notes. We're going to bond, bundle, and monetize them, but they don't have to know about that, and print the notes for pennies on the dollar, and because it's still, you know, when minimum wage is raised, the worker is still at minimum wage, and the one who profits, if you look on the Federal Reserve Board site, you'll see that it costs something like 5.5 cents to print a $1 note, okay, or a $2 note. So who's really profiting when minimum wage is raised to $2? Is it those who are printing the notes for, you know, a profit of 95 cents on every dollar that's printed? Or is it the guy who's at minimum wage and he's still at minimum wage, however, he's got to pay a tax on the full value of that note that he's got? Yeah. I wish I could put it together in a way that is still too new in my head. You know, I've known about Henry George for many, many years, but I had not known how it all kind of fit together until just the past couple of weeks. So I'm still kind of working on a way to present it in a way that is bring it down to, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. But are you getting it, or do you have any questions? And because that'll help me to, you know.
Thank you so much, Nikki. You're an INTP, and the INTP characters and traits are very detailed.
Somehow you remembered. Thank you. What are you?
Think about Bitcoin, the digital currency.
Yes, that's right, the pawns. Yep. Okay. But if you get a chance to, the book is online. Oh, when I was at the library down there at the university, I asked, I wanted to copy something out of Pawns in the Game. Do you happen to have that book in your library? Because it mentions Henry George.
The audio book, you can just listen to it.
Yeah, well, the fellow behind the counter there in the library, the university library, he says, no, we don't have that. I said, well, do you have the 1828 Webster's Dictionary? Because I want to make a copy that, you know, states meant nobility back then in 1828. Can I have a copy of that? Can you show me where that is? Well, we don't have that in our library either. So I had a chance to educate the librarians. It was fun.
Wow.
Okay.
But if you get a chance to pick up that book, and it's digital, not digital, it's online anyway, archive books, and actually Progress and Poverty is on archive books and searchable, as well as The Republic of the Future, Socialism or Reality. Did I say Progress and Poverty? Yeah, I did, didn't I? And there's a couple of other books that point to it as well. And one is from 1912, The Taxation of Land Values. That's very interesting, too. A Perplexed Philosopher. That one is from 1893, and it talks a lot about Henry George. In fact, it is by Henry George. And what else is there? I thought there was three books. Oh, yeah, the Progress and Poverty, yeah. Okay. And, of course, the Republic of the Future, Socialism and Reality. That's 1887, and it is Anna Bowman Dodd, D-O-D-D, or Anna Dodd Bowman, one or the other. It's a hyphenated name. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take up the whole call.
No, we appreciate you doing so.
Absolutely. Sorry that I stepped on you a little.
You stepped on me? You didn't step on me.
Over what? Your story. I'm sorry.
I even with you repeating them, I didn't get them all. So please send me something if you get a chance sometime. If not, that's okay. You know what? I'm not going to be able to get to these in the near future. I'm working on so much stuff.
Oh, I can imagine. And of course... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I haven't had time to read much these days, but on YouTube they have the audiobooks as well, the full versions.
Yes, they do. And I know that they do have Progress and Poverty, too. Yeah, the full version.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
John mentioned one time, quite some time ago, that I think it was back in 1948, they attached a little rider to a bill saying something to the effect that presentments were no longer needed to try and drive a nail in the common law stake. And I don't recall what the bill was titled or the number on it. That was another effort to make sure it never resurfaced. We got lots of people that haven't had a say yet. Anybody want to say? Now's the time.
Has anybody else heard anything about that woman that they apprehended down there in Mar-a-Lago? That was a Chinese spy?
I just heard it mentioned. I don't have details on it.
I haven't heard any details either. Very little coming out.
Yeah, she was probably working for Ms. Clinton.
Yeah, there was one report, and they said that they could only find one item, but they challenged others to look further into it, that she actually was an employee of Google.
Ah, another Googler, huh?
That's just a theory.
Yeah, Google and those Facebook and so on need to get on the investigation list to be checked out and brought to trial.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Definitely. Going back earlier, this is Eva in Vermont. I was really excited when you were talking about the court and mm-hmm. the trial. When Trump first started, I remember him saying this, and it really excited me. Do you remember growing up they used to have one channel that was dedicated just to court hearings and real court hearings around the country? Because mm-hmm. Trump mentioned that, and he said how wonderful it would be to have that come back again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be great, having trials on TV that represent common law. That would be a good, great education for all of the United States.
I find it strange that Anna von Veit has a common law court in Alaska. How does that really work?
You know that for a fact? Or is that, that rumor and hearsay?
It says she states it in her documents on her website.
Is she going to run a lot of people through it?
They
all talk.
Probably. I hope so.
I just want you to know that when Anna von Veit speaks, she stands behind her words until somebody gets arrested and goes to prison. Then she never told him to do that.
Yeah. She has that history. I remember being on a call one night and listening to that bunch from Colorado and so on, and Anna von Veit was on, and they addressed her as Anna, and they had her speak and so on and so forth. But she didn't tell him to do anything. Well, Terry, if we don't have any more speakers, we're going to have to hand out homework here for people to do something before the next week, huh?
Okay. I handed out homework one week, and nobody did it.
Nobody did it, huh?
No, I said, go find QSMX Pilot and tell me who he or she is.
Well, I could have done that, but I knew the answer.
That's right. And yeah. Nobody went and done it and reported the next week. So I just said, okay, maybe they don't want to hear it.
Yep.
So there you go. We can give more homework if you want.
Why don't you think up something good?
Finish the consent of the governor by consent of the course or whatever it is.
Government by consent course?
Yeah. Anybody else got any ideas? What would you want us to do as homework?
I thought that course was very well done, very well put together. But I would suggest anyone who's taking it to go ahead and save your answers in case you get bumped off and have to get back on again, because you have to repeat the answers again, okay?
Right.
And they don't show up. So make sure you save your answers.
Fixed.
Yeah, Carl was working on that here a week
or
two ago.
Yeah, Carl was working, and Jim told me that he saw that it was fixed, so I'm not sure if that's standard fare now. I don't know.
How long ago was that?
Last Wednesday.
Oh, okay. No, I finished it a few weeks ago now, yeah.
Yeah, that was discouraging. You had one wrong. And you had to enter all of them back in on a long one, you know?
Right.
Actually, if you had one wrong, you had two wrong, right?
Yeah, the way it's done.
Yeah, you have to make sure that the capitalized word was in the right place. See, Terry?
Well, you're way ahead of me, Nikki. I'm still working my way through chapter 2, I think.
No,
I'm well behind the Parker. You're ahead of me.
I have some homework for anyone that doesn't know their Myers-Briggs personality type. That can be a good homework. And
I can go with my file and pull mine out if you want.
He says, "Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater." I'm quoting her.
Myers-Briggs has a pretty good reputation.
Do you have a link where people can go to take that exam?
Myers-Briggs.org.
Yep. I think it costs some money.
It doesn't cost anything.
The ones I got did.
Really?
Yeah, but you got the super grade ones.
50 bucks each or something.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Do you know yours, Jan?
I have no idea.
That's your homework.
Who's speaking? Who's speaking?
It's Grace.
Grace? And what state?
Tennessee.
I'm from the state of this planet.
I'm glad you're talking about that. I mean, really, that would be helpful for so many people to let them know where they fit in to the whole.
Right. In the whole picture.
Exactly.
I'm surprised they don't do that in high school.
I don't do anything in high school.
Depends on when you went to high school.
Sounds like Assange is going to be expelled from the Ecuadorian embassy.
Really?
Between hours and days from now.
Where is he going? Does he know?
Well, as soon as he walks out the door of the Ecuadorian embassy, he's on English property or UK property.
Yeah.
And UK has an extradition treaty with the U.S., and he'll come straight to the U.S. about 30 seconds after he gets beyond the door.
That's not nice.
No, but that's the way it is. Saw a picture of Nadler when he was younger, when he was talking about the Clintons and some stuff that was going to be released on the Clintons, and he was saying, no, they shouldn't release it at all. And now he's calling for all of the Mueller report to be released. So, you know, he's talking about those things. But he was looked like about 150 pounds heavier. I at first didn't recognize him, younger face, but his neck disappeared. You know what I'm saying?
Has anybody else heard that Mr. Mueller wrote that final report way before the last election and held on to it to try and control things? Does that need to be investigated?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Wow.
I had not heard that.
And I wouldn't doubt it a bit, knowing him.
Yeah, well, the FISA report came from a FISA report back in 2008, right? They just changed the name?
I don't know that.
I don't think so. What he's talking about, the Mueller report, which was his FISA.
Right, but that was investigating the FISA, right?
No, it was investigating Trump and the Russians.
Exactly, with the FISA court.
No.
Yeah. Well,
he wasn't supposed to look there because there was nothing there that the Republicans had done, only the Democrats. So he was supposed to keep his hands off of that.
Right.
I had a laugh when they were talking about the FISA report years ago, you know, and I asked the senator here, the congressional senator here, and this is going back, I can't remember the guy's name now. He's since passed away, but I asked him, I said, wasn't there supposed to be a comma in there? Wasn't it foreign intelligence, comma, you know? Or was it foreign, comma, intelligence? You know, where does the comma belong? Anyway, I'm just throwing that in there.
Did he get an answer?
No, he was gifted in turning people's thoughts to something else, you know, looking around the room and, you know, saying, oh, is there another question? I can't think of his name. You probably know him. You're probably in the state at that time. So Oh. For some reason, he was before Casey, obviously, and before Santorum.
Ridge? Oh, no, you're talking Senator.
I'm talking about Senator to Congress. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was an older man, and...
Since we have seven women in here, I would like to ask a question. Blurt out the name whenever you want, but I would like to ask a question of all the women in here.
Ask it.
Do you think Joe Biden should be allowed to be president after groping and smelling hair and everything else all these people as vice president?
I think he should be prosecuted.
He should be executed in the middle of town with no children.
Yes.
In stocks, right?
Public hanging.
He's from Lackawanna County, by the way. So is Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's father is buried
here.
Are you
in Lackawanna County?
Yes.
Had you thought about moving?
No, the history here and everything leads me to, you know, the rabbit trails that I go on, and they're all, I mean, truth is stranger than fiction. So with that said, in 2014, I believe it was, 2014, I believe it was, 2014 or 2015, 2014, I believe. Anyhow. He was, there was a cartoon about him. He was coming up here for St. Patrick's Day, because obviously he's Irish. And he was coming up here for St. Patrick's Day to meet with the Irish up here, you know, to have a celebration. And a cartoonist put in the newspaper to get the chaperones ready. I have the cartoon and I downloaded it, but it's like in a thumb. So I looked the other day, because when this started coming out about him, I looked to find it, if I could find the original from the newspaper back then. And the newspaper has changed its policy, and for this particular cartoonist, 2014 had very few of his cartoons. So he must have been on a roll that year, that cartoonist, about different people. But anyway, with that, I yield. I'll let you know.
I didn't know that you were in Lackawanna County.
Yes.
Last January, I drove across. I was taking one of the guys who was moving out there, a friend. He was moving out to Lackawanna County. And,
really, and
I dropped him off, and I spent the night, and could have come and saw you.
Yes.
I stopped and had lunch with Jan, but I didn't get a chance. I didn't know that you were there in the county. They lived only about a quarter mile from the bridge there.
A quarter mile from the bridge?
The bridge that used to be a an aqueduct.
Oh, you're for the trains you're talking about.
Not the trains, the water. They used to pull the water. Maybe it was for the trains. I don't know.
It was a very high bridge, right? Very high.
It was a high bridge, but it was, had walls, so it used to have water in it, but they didn't need that anymore. But you cross the river there, and the Delaware, I guess, and you're in New York all of a sudden. And I'm trying to think of the town that was there, but I can't remember it at the moment.
Well, Scranton. Scranton would be the big town.
No, this was a tiny little town.
Clark Summit?
Maybe it was Lackawanna. Is there a Lackawanna town?
Are you talking about Lackawanna, New York, or Lackawanna, Pennsylvania? Lackawanna County.
Lackawanna, Pennsylvania.
Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania.
I think... I could be terribly wrong, so.
Or was it Lackawaxen? Was it Lackawaxen?
Hey, it was Lackawaxen. You're right.
Okay, so you're talking about Lackawaxen. Because when you're talking about going into New York, yeah, that's right there on the border. It goes across the border.
All you people look the same to me.
But you were close. You were probably within 30 miles. Yeah.
Well,
I wish you would have
done. I would have made the
yeah.
trip and then moved you up there.
Instead,
we get to shoot. Got to shoot guns, and
of course.
I enjoyed that anyway.
Well, good for you. Yeah. There's a train that goes into Honesdale. Honesdale was, the beginning. Not Honesdale. This whole area was the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, and with the trains and the manufacturing of rails and things like that, because of the coal deposits, anthracite coal. So there's a lot of history up here, and it all ties in, of course, with the Industrial Revolution.
Come on.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to mute out because we're really getting off base here, aren't we?
What's wrong with that?
I don't know, but I will. I'll look for that cartoon, see if I have a better copy of it somewhere. I can find a better
copy. This is open forum, and you can say as you please. We're in.
Say again?
I said this is open forum, and you can say as you.
Okay.
Yes.
Whatever you like.
Catherine Duran checking in. So sorry I'm late, everybody.
That's okay. What do you want to say?
What do you want me to say? I'm coming in
Thank
late
you,
on the.
You're so great. How's that?
Say that again.
You asked me what I wanted you to say. I picked something out of my hat real quick, and I thought, how about saying, thank you, Terry, you're so great.
Oh, hey, thank you, Terry, you're so great.
Oh, thank you.
How's that?
Boy, that's a real endorsement there, Terry.
Okay, what's your name and what's the state again? I recognize it. Well, go ahead. What's your name and your state?
Okay, I'm Catherine Duran, and I'm in California. I'm in Northern California.
Is that Catherine
real California.
With a K or with a C?
Catherine with a K.
Catherine.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And
yeah, I see a second woman has come forward now that has been harassed by
Joe Biden?
Mr. Biden, yes. And if he's that way in public, think of what he's like in private.
I can't believe that they, you know, all of what Kavanaugh went through, and then the next day, instead of coming out with charges, everybody ignored it and it all went away on Kavanaugh. And they were doing the same thing. And then here, this guy, in public, on screen, abuses people. And
pervert.
And Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar both defending. What is going on?
They're supposed to show their character.
So, is that
okay. Always? Catherine, I interrupted you. Would you please go on with whatever you wanted to say?
Oh, no. I was saying, is that Ollie that I just heard on there?
No, this is Terry.
Terry, okay.
I'm like Ollie, only about 30 miles south.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not near as old as Ollie is.
Okay. Well, I'm so sorry that I jumped in late here. I don't know what's going on with the gist of the conversation, but, is Ron on the call?
Nope, I haven't seen him yet.
I'm on the call, yeah.
You're
on
the call. Okay. All right. So, Ron, did you want to ask some questions or something, or is there anything I can answer, or do you just want me to talk? I think I've got like 5 minutes, right?
You got 5 minutes. Can you tell us about Common Core and who brought it forth in 5 minutes?
No. I can't do it in 5 minutes. It can't be done in five. It almost can't be done in 3 hours. But I can tell you it was. Well, I can do the Reader's Digest version. Barack Hussein Obama. that's pretty much it. Most people do not understand that. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say probably nobody except maybe 4 or 5 people now understand what actually happened with Common Core. And the gist of it is that it was used for the purpose. It doesn't really, everybody who's in the movement, everybody who's been in the movement from the very beginning until today, the few that are left remaining, are fighting this as if it is an education issue. So they're fighting it in the classroom, at the school boards, et cetera, with their legislatures, which is absolutely the worst thing that they could have done, because it was not an act of government. It was done outside of government, and that's not just from a common law perspective. They did this on purpose, and it was used for the purpose of eliminating representative government, American representative government. It was actually the contract itself is what actually was the instrument that eliminated representative government at the federal, state, and local level. And so if we have a call, if I get on a call next week, if I'm invited back, I can actually go into much more detail and explain, you know, the details of what happened there, because I really do need people to know. It's really important to know that the things that we're seeing out of government, the escalation of not just the theft of liberty, just the egregious, you know, this is cultural Marxism that's going on. One of my big issues right now is the sexuality education. It is not sex education. It's sexuality education, and it is porn. In TK, that's transitional kindergarten, through all the way through high school. And if you look at cultural Marxism and what it's there is actually a great short video that's just if you go to YouTube and you type in cultural Marxism and the Frankfurt School, that's a really great little video right there that explains what you're gonna notice all these things that are happening all around us. Most people are just going on about their lives, you know, fat, dumb, and happy, and you know, it's all coming down because we don't have a system of government that is operating with a foundation of law. It literally is what they say it is at any given time, and they're making it up as they go.
I would like to invite you back. Are there any objections with anyone in here of Catherine coming back and talking about Common Core next week?
I would love to hear about Common Core. I have 2 grandchildren, and they go to school, and I know that school is different from when I went to school, and I would love to
hear it. It's very, very different. It's very, very different than when the very youngest parents went to school. So you have, you know, people that are in their 20s, parents that are in their 20s, that it's not the same as it was when they were in school.
No, and you're right, it's communism.
It is a good topic.
I hope that you do come back, Catherine, if it all works out. And, you know, be here at 9 p.m. Eastern time, same place, same number, same code. And we would very much like to hear from you.
Great. And I won't be late next time. I'm sorry.
It happens. It happens to us all. There's been times when I forgot to call totally, and I'm supposed to run.
We have a convention this weekend. We have a bill that I helped to author. I'm the sponsor, We helped to author a bill to mitigate comprehensive sexuality education. It's called CSE, and that's another thing to look into as well. That actually is a thing out of the United Nations, UNESCO, and it is, oh my God, I have 5 main issues, so it's, you know, you take your pick, whatever it is that you want to get your kids out of school, is Common Core, is state-mandated vaccinations. It's glyphosate. It's the Roundup that they're using on the school grounds. It's the high-density Wi-Fi. and it's the comprehensive sexuality education. So take your pick, or I can just inundate you with all five of those. And, you know, so by the time people are done with me, hopefully, you know, they can't wait to get their kids out of school.
Okay, well, we definitely want to hear it next week, and you are invited back officially.
Great, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thank you, Ron.
Thanks for coming. Glad you made it.
Anybody else want to say anything before we close it out?
No.
Okay, I'll take that as a no. All right, this has been the discussion group call. It's only supposed to be about an hour long. Sometimes we go over, but it sounds like nobody else had anything else to say. My name is Terry. I run the call. The NLA, under the auspices of the NLA, the views expressed are those of the speakers, individuals, and not necessarily the views of the NLA. This conference call happens every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're so glad that we had really good participation today, and we're thankful that everybody came and just talked some, and we hope that you come back next week. And with that, I'll stop there.